May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as St. Paul continues his defense of the one faith, we begin to get into the topic of the resurrection. But since we'll be exploring that at length next week, I want to drill deep into this hinge point of our Christian faith. It's the reason that we ask ourselves, why bother? Especially now when we live in an age that no longer sees theology as the queen of the sciences, but more of a tolerated pastime for those that need to use such a crutch to get by in our materialistic, tribalistic world. Paul writes this, "If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." That's a hard nut to swallow. Without a risen Savior, we have no reason to be here today. The one message of the one faith shared by the one church, inspired by the one love that we have, well, it's a focus on the one Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We rely on a single divine King to rescue us from all of our ills, ills that we have brought on ourselves because of sin. And we trust in this Messiah because He has beaten death. Last week, when we touched upon sin, we defined it as our propensity to do what is destructive, selfish, and wrong. But many people today don't even believe in sin. The Western world is still deluded by the 1960s philosophy, "I'm okay, you're okay." It seems like everything you do that's natural, well, it's perfectly healthy, perfectly normal. You feel like indulging your sexual appetites with multiple partners, yeah, that's okay, man. You want to walk away from your job and in order and ignore of your responsibilities to provide for your family in order to pursue your dream. Well, you're a free spirit. Don't let anyone get you down. Now, these are extreme examples, granted, but they illustrate how dangerous such a philosophy can be. The general permissiveness and lack of social constraints nowadays that in the past used to keep us from placating every whim just because it's normal to feel that way, well, that's not the way our world used to work. And so that's left serious consequences for public and private morality because we've allowed the unfettered self to become the final arbiter of right and wrong. Not God, not the church, not even the state or our families. Self-interest is the only measure of good anymore, and realized autonomy the only goal. I suppose that's what you'd expect from a society that glorifies the myth of pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps. But what happens when this libertarian dream is realized? Well, on a purely economic level, you see an example of this in the woes that Sears Roebuck Corporation has gone through. When Eddie Lampert took over as CEO of Sears, he took Ayn Rand's philosophy of self-interest and instituted it as corporate policy within his own company. No longer was competition merely with other companies, or even between various sales teams within the company, but within the teams themselves. One's own salary was dependent upon the number of points that were scored. Sears employees were treated like stock options in a hedge fund portfolio. Cohesiveness, cooperation, teamwork, it all broke down. Personal gain overruled the well-being of the company. And now Sears is in bankruptcy. When we allow personal interests to rule the day, when we try to get what we can while the getting's good in spite of anyone else, when we try to save ourselves and pretend that we are the masters of our own destinies, well, we have set ourselves up for bankruptcy. We bankrupt our relationships with others. We bankrupt our health. We bankrupt the natural resources that God has entrusted to us. We bankrupt our spiritual wholeness and serenity. All because we think we can corner the market on what we as individuals think is best. But that's not the world that God put us in. He made us interdependent. We rely on the goodwill of others. We rely on water, air, crops, and natural goods that the earth avails without regard to who holds title or deed. We rely on support structures of family, church, and government. We rely on fair and free marketplaces where we can exchange goods without worries about corruption, theft, or fraud. And here in the U.S., we rely on a political system that ensures all viewpoints are respected when they're expressed and every vote counts and no person or party is beyond accountability to the law and to the people as a whole. But most importantly, we rely on the grace of God who gives us life. He gave us all these good gifts, plus innumerable others that only our lack of imagination or knowledge could exhaust if we decided to list them. And if He gave Himself, as He gave Himself in the person of Jesus, born of a virgin, preaching and proving His divine rule over all things, dying on the cross for our sins and rising up from the grave to institute His victory over sin and death and destruction that sin brings. Well, Jesus rose from the dead in a powerful demonstration to everyone and everything just who is in control. The triune Lord of love. That's why Paul is so adamant about Jesus' resurrection. He knows that without it, what that means for us in both body and soul is pretty dire. Without the risen Christ, we are still enslaved to sin. We can never conquer our disjointed appetites. We're still under the sentence of condemnation that God declared to those who disobey Him. Don't believe me? We'll just skim some of our other lessons from today. Jeremiah says, "Cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord." The psalmist says, "The wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes." And Jesus Himself offers a lament of woes for those who have full pockets and full bellies, happy days and buttered up egos. No one will escape scrutiny from the Most High. No one will be spared disaster without the intervention of a Messiah. Now, a few people recognize that the current state of things is unsustainable. They realize we need to at least belong to some group outside of ourselves. But they typically don't go far enough. Few talk about the fatherhood of God or the brotherhood of man as their starting point anymore. They talk about America, but then still demonize other Americans who don't look like them or believe like them. They talk about their political party while attending rallies and protests that have co-opted fervor that was once only found at revivals and camp meetings. And they despise others who aren't part of their tribe, people who don't look like them, who don't believe like them, who don't go in lockstep with their bumper sticker theology, or have meme-length policies to express. People who are here not under the right circumstances. People who are not from one of the long-standing families of the area. When push comes to shove, the vast majority of us hardly look past our own loved ones, preferring our own family members getting one up or sliding by instead of upholding the common good or doing what we know is the right thing to do. But our risen Lord has made a better way, the best way, in fact. Jesus is the rescuer who alone definitively solved the problem of sin. Jesus is the boss whose righteous reign sets every wrong right. Jesus is the best friend whose fellowship is far more meaningful than any other relationship. Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the promised King of Kings, and he proves it by defeating death through his resurrection and paying the just demands that our own sin has left because he died on the cross on Calvary. So knowing that Jesus is the one Messiah that we've all been needing, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? Are you going to keep being selfish, choosing your own adventure until you discover that every path ultimately leads you to the grave? Are you going to link tightly with some political party or racial identity or national fervor that ignores the fact that in Christ we are all citizens of heaven, and outside of Christ that we are still made in God's image? Or are you going to take that mustard seed of faith that the Spirit has placed in your hands and trust in Jesus as your Messiah, who alone can save you from the clutches of sin and death? If you've already taken hold of Jesus as this first step of faith, renew that commitment to follow Jesus today. If you haven't, then take that step. I implore you, let today be the day that your journey changes. No longer choosing your own adventure on the road to death through selfishness, but allowing Christ to choose you as his beloved, safe in his arms as he carries you with all the saints into eternal life. Let us pray. Merciful God, creator of all the peoples of the earth and lover of souls, have compassion on all who do not know you as you are revealed in your Son, Jesus Christ. Let your gospel be preached with grace and power to those who have not heard it. Turn the hearts of those who resist it, and bring home to your fold those who have gone astray, that there may be one flock under one shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.